And now, 88.9 and 96.5 brings you the Cradle and the Convert Ladies Edition with Catherine Smith and Sharon Chalosky as we bring you local issues with a Catholic perspective. Welcome to the Cradle and the Convert Ladies Edition. I'm Catherine Smith.
And I'm Sharon Chalosky.
And we are going to have a little extra edition once in a while and take a break from Mark and Dave, give them a little break, let them have the day off, and we're going to present the ladies' view of the Cradle and the Convert. I'm so excited.
I am so excited, too, about being here. And I must say, I mean, I am the convert.
And I'm the cradle. Catherine's the cradle.
And Sharon is the convert. So,
and I think it would be really great, Sharon, if we just kind of started and told people our story and how we got here from our cradle and our convert experiences.
Sounds good. I'll let you go first.
Well, I am the cradle. I was born and raised here in Decatur and at Holy Family. And I am one of four girls. I'm the youngest. They say I'm the spoiled one, you know. And I think my parents just got tired, you know, at that point. But we grew up in the second pew on the right-hand side at Holy Family Parish, and that is still where we sit. That's where my kids sit and put their feet up on the pew sometimes, and Father Joe looks at us a little sideways, but that's okay. And I married my wonderful husband. It'll be 21 years ago this year, and he is a convert. So I've had many what I would say conversion experiences, even though I'm a cradle Catholic. Mm-hmm. I grew up going to public grade school and junior high, and so I went through what is now called the PSR program, the CCD program.
Okay.
And it was really interesting being a Catholic amongst the public school environment. And then I went to St. Teresa for high school. And that was even more interesting because then I was amongst all these people that knew the sign of the cross and spoke my prayers. And I found my first big conversion experience, I would say personally, was I was invited to go on a tech weekend, Teens Encounter Christ. And two of my really good friends and I went, and I'll never forget, actually it's Donna Dousman's daughter, and she's still my very best friend till this day. And she and I drove over in her bright yellow banana car, we called it. And we drove over ourselves to Riverton, and we were only 16, to the Franciscan Apostolic Center. And it was a life-changing experience to have adults in front of me who just weren't preaching to me and were just witnesses to God's grace was a whole new perspective for me. And even so much so that before I got married, I asked Chris to come on it, even though we were in our 20s, to come on a tech weekend as an observer, because I felt it was very important that he see where my faith came from, especially since he wasn't Catholic. And by the grace of God, when I got pregnant with our second child, he came to me and said, "I'm ready. I want to convert." I never asked him. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. But that isn't something I felt I could ask him to do. I felt very much so that he had to be led there himself. He would come to church with me and sometimes not. And it was just the most beautiful experience going through that with him. So I'm active in my faith and in my parish in a year.
You sure are.
A little bit. Year and a half ago, I retired, I call it, and decided that it was time for me to live out my vocation of being a mom and a wife in a more full-time capacity. So I retired from my business that I loved, and now I am just living out and using my talents for the greater good of God.
Amen. So that's where I am. And you are so talented.
Oh, gosh. Well, so are you.
You are a mentor.
We're going to have a mutual admiration society today, I think.
I think that might be.
So tell us about where you are.
Well, I love how you're describing this because, you know, I'm on the flip side of that. I'm the convert. And, okay, so I'll start from the beginning. I was born and raised in Decatur. In fact, I was born in St. Mary's Hospital.
So
and, you know, my parents are good people. They You know, we are CEOs. We're Christmas and Easter only families. We went to this little country church where, you know, my grandma and grandpa in Mount Auburn or Nyanic, I don't know what the technical address is, you know, for the Christmas program and the little Easter, you know, deal so you could get dressed up.
You had your pretty dresses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, they led by the golden rule. They were good people and all of that. But it wasn't until I met John that, you know, I would go to church and I'd go to St. Pat's with him. His family are first pew on the right family. So
see, we're the second pew on the right.
Being up front and center, you know, you the standing up and the peace be with you and the kneeling and all of that. You know, I felt drawn to the Catholic Church. I totally felt the Holy Spirit. I can't really explain it, but I can remember it like it was yesterday, the feeling of walking in to St. Patrick's Church. I can't tell you even from my cruising Eldo days in high school that I even realized it existed. You know, the things you take for granted just driving through town. Like I said, I've lived here my whole life, but it brought tears to my eyes and I couldn't just figure out like what is this happening,
yeah,
stirring in me. And I wanted to be comfortable going to church as far as the kneeling and the standing and understanding what it all meant. I wanted to learn the prayers and the creeds that they were reciting so I didn't have to feel like I was faking it going through.
Mm-hmm.
So John didn't ask me to become Catholic either. But, you know, we dated for 7 years, which is a really long time. And I just felt that, you know, I loved his family. And is this what being Catholic is all about? I mean, he was the youngest of seven. And I mean, I have an older sister, but I'm the baby also. And I just wanted to learn more. So I went through RCIA and it was 9 months and his dad sponsored me, which looking back now that he's no longer with us, I have those memories. I found my folder not that long ago of some of the things that I learned. And, you know, we're still evolving, just like you talking about going to the retreat when you were 16. Was it a retreat?
Okay. Yeah.
And
they still have them today. Tech.
I learned a lot in RCIA as far as like kind of the foundation of what Catholics believe, but my faith continues to grow through Bible studies. Like, you know, we're going to talk to Carlos coming up later in the show, and he was very life-changing, a year of discipleship. That's how I met Carlos, and a whole year, you know, of just learning what it means to be a disciple for Christ.
Well, and I think the beautiful thing about the Catholic Church is that there are us cradle people and the converts, and we inspire each other, because you might be inspired by the fact that I know all the prayers or anything, but I'm inspired by the fact that you want to know why we pray these things. And then that's what I went through when Chris went through RCIA and I went with him. And, you know, the whole idea of transubstantiation at that point, I had this aha moment, and I'll never forget Bob Herman talking about the Catholic Church is the only church that comes directly from God.
Absolutely.
And I was like, well, duh, but I've never thought about it that way. And just how we as a blended community of, you know, cradle-born Catholics and people who choose Catholicism inspire each other.
Well, and that just touches like so deeply to my core, because what I love about the Catholic Church is that you can go to any Catholic church
and
we always love when we're on vacation, like, okay, what church are we going to go to?
Yeah.
And we'll look in the phone book or Google the closest Catholic church. And it feels like a family. Like, yes. I don't feel uncomfortable walking into another Catholic church.
Right.
I know exactly what is expected. I know what they not expected.
No,
that's
but
not
the sacramental process that we go through, and that miracle that happens through the Eucharist at every Mass, that you can walk in and know what you're experiencing. There's no surprises, and it's automatic community.
Mm-hmm.
Automatic.
Absolutely. And so,
well, as part of this little adventure that we're on, being the ladies' edition here, what's something you are hoping to bring to the listeners?
Well, you know, we both have children in Catholic schools. I just feel like we can talk about different things that Dave and Mark necessarily may not talk about.
Or be interested in.
And hopefully, you know, and I know that you and I have talked a little bit about this, and, you know, we really are welcoming comments from our listeners, too. You know, we'll be sure to get our information out there, like how our listeners can reach us if yes. they would like to be a guest, if they know of someone, a great story that they would like to share.
For
because,
sure.
you know, this is a community radio station, and I am so grateful to be a part of this. I mean, I love being Catholic. I really do. Not that long ago, just a few weeks ago, Bishop Papaki was at St. Patrick's School, and he tries to make it a point to visit every school,
right.
you know, every parish that has a school, especially. And he had mentioned there's 129 in his diocese. And as part, I'm on the home and school board. I don't know what you
PTG at Holy Family.
And John's on the advisory board at St. Patrick's School. So we were invited to be guests just to give our perspective to Bishop Papaki about what we do and just giving him some insight. And, you know, there's so much that we can do. There's so much that we need to do as Catholics to just reach out and, in this community of believers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bishop Papaki was mentioning that, you know, we're losing Catholics. Mm-hmm. And my I guess my biggest goal and hope is that we can get some parents of our, you know, kids at our school listening and just a different audience.
Right.
And if we can maybe get them back into church more often.
Right. I mean, absolutely. Well, as we get started today on our first one, I want to remind everybody that we are in the midst of a very important pledge drive for Relevant Radio. And WDCR directly benefits from any gift to Relevant Radio, and they are having the Give from the Heart pledge drive right now, and it's through Friday, so make sure you call in 877-291-0123, or there is the Relevant Radio app, or you can go online to Relevant Radio and donate those ways. So there's three ways that you can make a donation, and we do receive direct funds from anyone local. We get significant funding from that, so it's the Give from the Heart pledge drive with the Relevant Radio right now, and we really need people to support that. We are so blessed by the support we receive locally to WDCR directly, but without Relevant Radio, we wouldn't exist either. So we need both.
Yes,
we need
absolutely.
Both.
And that's so generous of them to share that with us.
And we have a couple of guests coming up today.
Yes.
We have Carlos from the Springfield Diocese, and he's going to be talking to us about a Valentine's event this weekend and some other upcoming events. And then we also have Susan from St. Mary's Hospital Auxiliary.
Yes, I can't wait to talk to them both. It's kind of, you know, as we reach out to our listeners, Valentine's Day is right around the corner. And I just feel like, you know, as we are called to love one another, and what better way to kick off our first show by sharing that love with our listeners and with each other. And
well, and just a few nights ago, we were at the couple's night out at the beach house. And that was awesome. That was, I mean, what a beautiful communion of married couples coming together. And with Deacon Patrick O'Toole, who was a guest here just recently, they did a phenomenal job, he and his wife.
They did. They were talking about the five love languages. And, you know, I never cease to keep learning new things about John. So,
yeah. Well, yes, we all have a lot to learn about our husbands and significant others. But it's true. You can get very complacent. And I know it's a challenge every day to not just get on the treadmill of life and just be complacent and get up, go do this, wherever you are, whatever stage of life you're in. We all get into habits.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit calls upon us to be present for each other, and that our spouses are our ticket to heaven. We're going to be judged on our spouse and how much we uplift them when we get to the gates of heaven. So, you know,
what a great reminder. Thank you for that. Yes.
So there's a lot, you know, if I'm going to be judged on him, I got work to do.
That's right. Well, and, you know, he's now a Catholic.
Yeah.
Like you. You've set a great example, just as John set a great example for me and my desire to learn more about the faith as well as his family. And, you know, I've always heard this saying, people that pray together, stay together.
Amen.
I really believe that.
Amen.
Just, you know, the fact that we have our church family, our church life, and our prayers that sustain us, that mm-hmm. really give us our daily bread.
Amen.
And, you know, it's helped us through all of the rough times, being able to, you know, just rest in our faith and and what we've.
So we'll have lots to talk about
through
many different shows. So I think we're going to aim for once a month. Yes.
Yes.
And that you and I will come together and give Mark and Dave a break and have the ladies edition. So we'll be talking about all sorts of different topics pertinent to women and families and men as well, but from a lady's perspective.
Right.
So we're looking forward to the next parts of our show today. Thank you for being here.
Yes.
You are listening to The Cradle and the Convert Show on WDCR.
After visiting the Coalition for Life, a pregnant woman reported, "Being helped by the staff was so comforting and relaxing. I really enjoyed my experience here." God could be calling you to help mothers and their unborn children in our community. Human life is sacred. Think about it. CoalitionForLife.com.
We have on the air with us today Carlos Tejada. He's from the Office for Marriage and Family Life in the Diocese at Springfield. And he's going to be talking with us today about some upcoming events, the St. Valentine's Day event and some Living in Love retreats. It's really nice to have you on the air with us, Carlos. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Sharon.
Good morning, Carlos. Can you just tell us a little bit about your position with the diocese and what you do for us there?
Sure, you bet. So the staff is just myself in the Office of Marriage and Family Life. We do the marriage preparations and coordinate the ones that happen at the parishes. We do marriage enrichment retreats, and we coordinate the instruction on natural family planning throughout the diocese. And we also collaborate with parishes to make sure that bereavement and divorce and separation ministries are happening as well.
Wonderful. And part of that ministry that you do is also some retreats and some special events that are geared towards marriage, and with St. Valentine's Day coming up this weekend. Tell us a little bit about what you have going on there at the Villa Maria this weekend.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. We are having comedian Tom Leopold, who was a writer for Seinfeld and Cheers, and comedians going back to Bob Hope, Billy Crystal, Lucille Ball, Chevy Chase, and many others. So he's got a long curriculum vitae there, and we're excited to have him. This is about our third or fourth event of this type. You can't beat the price for the event, allowing couples to have dinner, drinks, and a comedian show at the Diocesan Retreat Center there on Lake Springfield. It's been growing every year, and we just have a few spots left this year, so we'd love to max out our capacity. And couples can go to the website, which is dio.org/familylife/events, and they would be able to register there for the couple spots that are left.
And it is $50 a couple, is that correct?
Correct, yeah, that includes everything, dinner, drinks, and the show.
That's a really good deal.
It is a good deal.
For dinner, drinks, and a comedian for only $50. Wow, that's wonderful. And tell us a little bit about the Villa Maria. For anyone that hasn't been there, tell us what that is and where it's located and just a little bit about the uniqueness of that facility.
Yeah, you bet. So it was built, the current structure, I believe, was built in the 50s. Began as, even before that, it was a summer camp location on Lake Springfield, which is East Lakeshore Drive. If you're coming from the south on the 55, it's pretty much the first exit you get to, you know, heading north as you come into Springfield, East Lakeshore Drive there. And it's situated right there on the lake, and it's right adjacent to to Lincoln Memorial Gardens. So there's beautiful grounds to walk on and explore. And the structure that we currently have began as a diocesan Latin school for young seminarians. Before they would go to major seminary, they needed to learn Latin. And that's what would happen at the Villa Maria. And then I think in the 80s, it became a retreat center, and we're blessed with it to this day.
Yeah, I've been on a couple retreats there, and it is just a very special place. I think it's really nice that it's being used in so many wonderful ways. So just to recap, this weekend on February 12th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Villa Maria, they're having the St. Valentine's at the Villa, and it's comedian Tom Leopold. And I just want to touch back on what you said about who he is. That's quite a coup that we have him here. He is a comedy writer that finds God in his own personal journey of faith, one joke at a time, from writing episodes of Seinfeld and Cheers to working with legends like Bob Hope, Billy Crystal, Lucille Ball, and Chevy Chase. That is amazing that he's here in Central Illinois. So something very for our listeners to take advantage of, for sure. All ages, I would assume, yes?
Well, we are all ages of couples, so engaged, dating, certainly married couples, but he won't be telling crude jokes or anything like that, but the idea is this wouldn't be a family event.
Sure,
it
sure.
It would be for couples. Yeah.
All ages of couples, yeah. I would assume.
Exactly, yep.
Wonderful. Well, again, if you're interested in doing the St. Valentine's at the Villa, go to dio.org. And if you look at the Office of Marriage and Family Life events, you can register and pay right there online. So it's this Saturday on February 12th from 6 to 9 at the Villa Maria. So what else is going on in your office? You have some retreats coming up as well, yes?
Yeah, for staying with the theme for married couples, we have what's called the Living in Love Retreat, August 26th and 27th. So that's a full Saturday and about three quarters of a Sunday. And it's a profound experience of pulling back the veil or pulling back the layers that we sort of build up from our culture that make it difficult for husbands and wives to give and to receive love readily. And wonderful feedback from all the people all the couples that come on the retreat. The most profound aspect, perhaps for my wife and I, was discovering how it is that we can actually reprofess our vows to one another in a way that we had never understood, even during our own marriage preparation.
So when you say that, for someone who sometimes it's kind of hard to get your husband to agree to go on a retreat. Sharon, do you ever have? You might be like, come on, it's not going to be crazy.
I would probably agree with that. I think what's more difficult in my situation is just when you have little kids and, trying to get away. But it's important that we make time for each other in our marriages.
Absolutely.
So important.
Perspective is a beautiful thing, and it's really hard to gain perspective on your marriage when you're sitting in the midst of the dishes and the chores and the practices and the rehearsals, and even later in life, just the worries about college and money and retirement and all of the daily stresses that are on us. So a retreat like this can really refresh a marriage, wouldn't you say, Carlos?
It can, yeah. It can give a whole new, as you just exactly said, perspective, and it's not magic fairy dust. It can't make the difficulties and challenges of life go away, but it definitely equips couples to have a new vantage point and a new set of vocabulary and a new set of expectations and a broader toolbox to work through the inevitable difficulties that arise in life, and that's really the exciting part of it, and also introduce couples to, God willing, some new friends in their area and community, many wonderful things. And we highly encourage. Usually it's the case that once one couple from a parish comes, they can immediately think of a dozen of their friends that need to come on the next one. And so again, these spots also tend to fill up, so we'd be glad to start taking reservations for August. It's not too far out.
Right, and it's actually a good thing to plan and just make that a priority, mm-hmm. because things are going to come up. You are going to have conflicts and you are going to have to work around it. But if you plan and say, no, this is my priority, you can find a way to make it happen.
Absolutely. How many retreats do you do a year in case someone can't make it in August? When's the next one?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have the 2018 calendar firmed up quite yet, but we try to plan two or three a year.
Okay.
Wonderful. And that's just, the marriage retreats are just one aspect of what you do through your ministry there at the diocese. You also have things for that you mentioned at the top of the interview for children and for pre-cana and, you know, divorce recovery and all the different portions of marriage and family life. So I think a lot of times we don't realize the resources that are available to us through the diocese. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, exactly. Our greatest passion is collaborating with parishioners at their level of their parish to equip the parish staff and the pastor and the deacons and the parishioners themselves to take ownership of something and bring it to life at the parish level. So the two events we mentioned already are sort of take some of the pressure off of the parish.
Right.
That might be smaller, that sort of thing. But we'd love to collaborate with parishioners or anybody to bring to life something that that will be sustainable at the parish level.
Wonderful.
And I'm glad you reminded me of that, Carlos, because that's how I met you. We were doing the Year of Discipleship, and you and Vicky, and there were several people that came over for the diocese that really, you know, just brought the group to life, you know, just from your perspective and the things that you all added to various parts of the Year of Discipleship. You know, you're definitely a hands-on kind of person. You know, you guys show up and you really helped make the experience, you know, memorable. And kind of just took control of that. It's great.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thanks be to God for that. We exist to, here in the Curia offices to assist Bishop Papraki. And so that means we're necessarily desirous of assisting pastors because they're in ministry and they're shepherds on behalf of Bishop Papraki. And so we're all in the boat together, journeying towards heaven together. And yes, we love getting out of our offices and being at the parish hall.
Wonderful. Well, I'm looking on the website, and there are lots of other things to take advantage of, family fun camp and lots of different events. So I encourage our listeners to go out, and if you've never been to the website, go and look. And Carlos, thank you so much for being here today. And we will definitely pray for you and your ministry and hope that this weekend's event and all the events coming forward are going to be huge success for our diocese.
Well, thank you so much. I look forward to speaking to you in the future and anybody from the show that has questions.
Yeah, and if someone wants to get a hold of you, why don't you end with that and give us your contact information if anybody wants to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you bet. Area code 217 for the phone number, 321-1132. And email is my first initial C, last name Tejeda, Tejeda, at dio.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us today. God bless.
Nice to talk to you, Carlos.
Goodbye, Karen and Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Welcome to a place where healthcare goes beyond four walls, where friendships begin, where our family comes together to care for yours. At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, you'll find outstanding physicians and some of the region's most advanced specialties. We're bringing it all together right here in Decatur, where something even better starts right now. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital and HSHS Medical Group, working together as part of Hospital Sisters Health System.
Welcome back to the Cradle and the Convert, ladies edition. I just wanted to shout out that we are right in the middle of the Give from the Heart pledge drive for Relevant Radio. And I wanted to remind our listeners that WDCR Catholic Radio actually receives a significant portion of the donations. So please be generous. It helps just all across the board, and we're very grateful to be partnering with them. The Relevant Radio pledge line phone number is 877-291-0123, and the pledge drive is going on all this week. So, and I would also like to introduce our next guest.
Yeah.
Her name is Susan Dudra, and she is the president of the St. Mary's Auxiliary. So I will...
Welcome, Susan.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here to talk about the auxiliary here at St. Mary's.
Wonderful.
And I can't wait to hear about all of the things that you do. Just in the short little conversation that we had on the phone when I asked you to be on air with us, my eyes were opened. Huge.
Great.
So thank you so much for being here. Yeah,
so give us a little bit of background on the auxiliary.
Sure. We're just a group of volunteers. There's about 240 at any given time.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. That's a lot.
It is. And we're made up from the volunteers here at the hospital. So that we go a step further in our support of the hospital. And we try and supplement with providing gifts for the hospital. For instance, when you come into the hospital, there's a healing garden. There's a statue of St. Francis.
Yes.
And there's a bench there. So if, and you can get really tired, you know,